Hey, what's going on? This is Bill Burr from the All Things Comedy Network. I'm very excited to tell you that we are going to be releasing a stand-up special from the unbelievably talented, unbelievably hilarious, and unbelievably original Ted Alexandro. He has a new stand-up special called Senior Class of Earth. You can check it out exclusively at atcspecials.com and follow the All Things Comedy Network for more ways to support your favorite comedians. This is huge for us. This is everything that All Things Comedy was about. We wanted to get in business with great artists and help them to maintain control and ownership of what they created. And this is our first foray into that. Once again, it's called Senior Class of Earth from the great Ted Alexandro. You can check it out at atcspecials.com.
I see the fun. The Diary of Jack Kirkman Podcast.
I Seem Fun, the Diary of Jen Kirkman Podcast, episode 253. Woo! Did you like last week's interviews? I think, you know, I love doing interviews. I think that because I am the subject of so many interviews, I feel as though a little bit of a leg up where I gotta pat myself on the back. I think I know what I want to talk about. I know what I hopefully gets people going. Anyway, hope you enjoyed it. If not, check it out. Last week's episode 252. And oh my God, what? I mean, just so much to chat about today. I know that everything I want to talk about is going to have to spill over into two episodes, possibly three. I'm going to do a little bonus episode. It's going to come out. Oh, I don't know. Probably end of October, but it's going to be a half hour episode dedicated to how to decorate your house for Christmas on the cheap. And we're talking many levels of cheap. I'm sorry, I'm not a craft person, so it's not going to be free, but it's going to be how to buy a bunch of things and make it go a long way. Like, if you have $50 to spend, there's so much stuff you can get. And, you know, where to get things, how to find sales, when to buy this stuff, when not to buy. And then people who maybe want to invest a little more, where I can point them, where they have quality things that they can keep for a long time. And just different ideas and then other resources. I mean, I'm super excited because I've gotten a lot of emails about the decorating thing, and I'm super excited. So, oh my God. But I figured I'll give you time to, first of all, you know, if you're anything like me, sometimes you want to decorate early. So I'm going to release the episode in October. You know what would be fun? If that little half hour bonus comes out on Halloween, because that's how it's like Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas. That's how we do Halloween and I Seem Fun. We release a half hour bonus about Christmas decorations. So let's do it. Let's do it. Ooh. And if you wanted to have a Halloween themed Christmas, the shit's going to go on sale Halloween day. I mean, that's something you could do. I mean, it's all weird for me, but you know, you're weird people sometimes. Anyway. All that. Today we have lots to talk about. I actually have my own thoughts in my head for once, but we do have lots of listener emails. There is an article I wanted to read and discuss with my people. God, I don't even know where to begin. Well, first of all, I'm going to need your help. So I know where I have listeners, and I've got a good amount on the East Coast. I've got a huge amount of listeners in California, especially Northern. I am begging y'alls. Here's the deal. Well, first of all, tickets just went on sale. I'm going to be in San Diego one night only at the American Comedy Company. That is November 18th. That's a Sunday night, the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Come, laugh, drink, pre-game your parties away. Pre-game. Get all your yucks out about having to do whatever you have to do for Thanksgiving that you don't want to do. Come laugh. It only seats 200 people. It's a small club. I'm doing one show. I will personally be on hand to take pictures after, sign books, whatever, sell books, but you've got to actually come. But if we can get 200 people there, we'll have a nice little sellout show. It'll be a good night. Everybody, nobody everybody enjoys themselves. So that's on my website right now, jenkirkman.com. Click tour dates. San Francisco, you killed it on the pre-sale. Like, we sold almost 200 tickets and then it just stopped. So we've got 200 left. So San Francisco, 200 tickets left for Sunday night, November 11th. It is the night before Veterans Day. You may have the day off work, and it's only a 7 o'clock show, even if you don't. So come on down again. Unlike last year in San Francisco, where I had this company I was working with, I am personally on hand selling and signing merchandise after the show, if that's any incentive, and it's material that you haven't seen on TV. So come on down. But where I really could use your help, and this is where I'm asking you guys to actually think outside the box. I've got a publicist on this. I'm taking out like my Facebook and my Instagram ads, but my shows at the Vermont Comedy Club, October 11th through 13th, and Sacramento at Harlow's, Saturday, November 10th, they need a giant push. And that's a polite way of saying the sales are in a real slump. And I know I lost my fan base in Burlington, Vermont because of my, well, actually that one is like, there's five shows and the Saturday night early show is selling well, as all Saturday night early shows always do. But there's not a lot of hysteria, let's just say, around this. So I know it's my own fault for bashing Bernie, but you know, I'm a true patriot and I don't want anybody who's accepting help from Russia to be glorified. So you know what? Where is my glory as this great patriot of the United States? So get some girls out here. Girls. Girls and gays. Are there girls and gays? Can they come to the shows in Burlington? Can you take a road trip? Can you tell friends that live in the area? Just fucking help a girl out. If you go to my Twitter, if you go to my website, jenkirkman.com/tour dates, all the information you need for all the shows are there. If you have bought tickets, please post it to all of your social media and say, look what I'm doing. Buy a group of tickets and, you know, tell your friends, this is what we're doing. Like, somebody organize something, get those tickets sold in advance. Sacramento, I could really use a sellout show. So I'm begging you guys, Sacramento, same thing. Tell everybody, post about it, tag people you know in the area, get a group going. And let's do this. Again, I will also be doing all the merch after all the shows in Vermont and Sacramento, so you can meet me after the show as well. I really, really want to go back on tour next year, but if the numbers are slump-a-dumpa on these little trial runs I'm doing, I'm not going to go back on tour. And it's the biggest heartbreak because that's literally all I want to do for a living. And I'm not sure why. Like, I'm at the top of my game, two Netflix specials, and it's like pulling teeth to get people to come out. So if you are hearing this, it's what I do for a living. It's legit the only thing I want to do for a living. Everything else is in service to touring. Please come to these fucking shows. And you will not have a bad time. People, I give a good show. I give a unique show. It is not like some robot doing material that you could have stayed home for. It's my life's dream. And when I'm up there living in, I'm never happier. So I'm really asking you guys to get creative. I do all the, you know, we've got all the publicist angles. We've got all the news. I've got all the, you know, ads. But it's really just people talking about, oh my God, it's so fun to see Jen. Here's my story. Post it if you know anyone in these areas. It's just, you know what I mean? It's talking to other people. Okay, we understand the concept. Okay, good. Thank you for that. I really appreciate it. I hope to see you all on social media. Please tag me at Jen Kirkman or whatnot in all these posts. Yay. Yay. Okay, everybody loves... Hang on one sec. Gerald, can you just walked right, he's got a real tippy cup, a tippy cup. He's got a saucer. He's got a teacup without a saucer. Yes, Gerald, a saucer under that. He's got a teacup without a saucer and he's just like holding it because it's really hot and the steam burns his hand. Yeah. What? Yes, it does, Gerald. the steam always burns your hand. Well, it's not burning it like third degree, but you always go, oh, hot. And then your like hand is shaking and then you're walking and it's hot water just went right on my microphone cord. I could have been electrocuted, Gerald. I'm telling you guys, Gerald, he'll never speak on the podcast because he's shy, but he wants so much attention whenever I start doing the podcast. I mean, you should see him. I could do a strip tease where I remove my brassiere and my large intestine. Gerald doesn't look my way. I'm in the house all day. Might as well live alone. Might as well live alone. I'm a widow with a husband in the corner. Might as well be a corpse. Do you think Gerald any more pays attention to me? No. Well, I should have a microphone in my hand 24 hours a day. I should put a microphone in my hand and stand outside a fancy restaurant and sit down at a table inside, and Gerald will come in and have dinner with me. I swear he just wants my attention when I'm not giving it. And I don't know if there are gals out there who are in the single scene, but I guess what I've learned from 65 years of marriage is if you ignore your husband, he will stick around. Isn't that terrible? Isn't that terrible, Gerald, how you men are? I hope it's better for the younger generations. I don't know. You know, our son Jerry Jr., I mean, who knows what that one. But Jerry Jr., I don't even want to talk about it. No, Gerald, I'm not going to talk about it. I know. I respect his privacy, but let's just say he hasn't found the right woman yet. And he's real eligible, but I don't want to get into it. Anyway, a lot of people have been asking questions. My name is Mimi, and my husband, Gerald, of 65 years. Now, I know a lot of people have said, Mimi, you sound very young. How could you be in your 80s? I said, no, that thick is Gerald. They don't know the story. I am just learning about broadcasting. So you can't just do private jokes, right? You can't just do private jokes that you have with your husband into the microphone. So Gerald and I have been married for 65 years is our little joke because we met when we were 0 years old and we are both 65. I swear we have never been with anyone else. Even Gerald says in the war, he didn't fool around with anybody. Because, you know, a lot of those women over there, they wanted to get pregnant with a soldier so they could have, I think you get dual citizenship or something. And Gerald was very careful, he said, with those women. He just didn't even go there. He didn't even go there. So as far as I know, Gerald and I have been faithful to only one another for 65 years. Here's the thing. We met at 0 years old. Our mothers were in the hospital together. They were neighbors. And they now back then, you know, they don't do all this rigmarole they do nowadays where you have to have your skin and the baby. I mean, the baby doesn't know. The baby's born. They take the baby away. They wash it up. You know, you get your curlers in. You get your curlers in. The baby comes. You hold the baby. But now it's like, oh, the baby. It's like, what about the mother? So I'm talking to the other mother in the room and our babies are whatever they're doing. And our husbands, of course, are home. And I says to her, what did you have? And she said, I had a boy. Oh, no. This is my mother and her and Gerald's mother. Sorry. I it's like, I don't know where my mother begins and I end because we're all mothers now. And it's just sort of like, Gerald, they don't mind if I'm crying because this is podcasting, Gerald. It's more intimate. Oh, he doesn't know anything. He thinks I should announce a song and then play something for you. Do you know what Gerald just... He doesn't understand. It's like he thinks I'm going to sit here and play, you know, Frankie Valli for you people. Gerald, this is young people are listening to this. They know it's not the radio station. You know, I should never have told him that I was on a radio station because now he goes, why don't you ever play songs on the radio? Anyway, so this is how Gerald and I met. This is how we met. You'll love this story. So, oh my God, Gerald, No. I'm not actually playing Frankie Valli for them. Gerald, turn down the stereo, please. Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, I do love this song. Take my eyes off of you. You know, Gerald is pretty cute for his age. Get over here, Gerald. Sit down. You want to sit with me while I do the podcast? You do that. You just sit still. This is our time, Gerald. Our quality time. Anyway, so here's how Gerald and I meet. Our mothers are in the hospital. My mother says to his mother, what did you have? She says, I had a boy. My mother says, I had a girl. They look at each other. They said, perfect. Our lives are set up. We know it. Like, you know, we were neighbors. So we've been together since zero. We started young. And I think, I mean, listen, unless he's got something on the side, I think we're going to make it all the way through this life. Ah, right? But these days, you have a baby. And they go, the skin. And then they give you the baby right away. So it's mother and baby bonding. You could be talking. The mother could be talking to another woman in the delivery room and saying, what did you have? Did you have a boy? Did you have a girl? Or, you know, sometimes girls like girls and boys like boys. All that goes on these days, which is fine. Then they could be matchmaking. But they're not. Because now it's all the mother and the baby. Well, look it. That's why people young are having such trouble with romance. Because they're not letting the mothers do the work. I don't know, Gerald. Do you get it, Gerald? Oh, Gerald. Sorry. Okay. That's Mimi and Gerald. That's their story, guys. I love that you guys love Mimi. I do, too. I don't know where she came from, but she lives in me. She lives in me. Ugh. What? I just heard the weirdest noise, and I feel like we're going to have another ghost episode. Okay, can we talk, as Joan Rivers used to say. There was always this thing that happened after you watch your season of Hallmark movies, Hallmark Christmas movies. There was always this thing they were trying to get you to go next level on, right? They go, oh, the winter movies are coming after, you know, and then you... There's just something about the Christmas decorations come down. You know, Christmas is, I don't know about you guys, but in my industry, it kind of shuts down around the holidays. Although weirdly, last year I was busy writing the script, so I can be very busy, but there's not a lot of like things and meetings to do. And it's obviously a terrible time of year to tour. So there's a lot of time off. And a lot of people, I don't know if you guys have this, you get to a level of sloth you might normally not allow yourself in real life, especially also if you're in, you know, climates where you can just gain a few, put on a sweater. It's like, I'm eating whatever, I'm watching whatever. So of course we watch the Hallmark, I'm still talking like Mimi, aren't I? We watch the Hallmark Christmas movies, and I normally wouldn't watch 30 ridiculous movies a year, but I just sometimes find that I have the time with the Hallmark ones. And so, but when it's over, I feel for me, it's over. And it's always really sad. And what they're trying to do is make the withdrawal a little easier by saying, no, we still have movies, the same crazy romances you always loved. But it's just winter. And then we're going to do some Valentine's Day ones. And there's something about that to me that is so depressing. It's like that moment where you're just brushing your teeth at the end of the night and you look in the mirror and it's, you just say, look at yourself. You have to let this go. It's not cool. You know, the decorations are down. Now it's January. Everything's cold and slushy. And you're still watching these schmaltz movies. This is weird. It's getting weird now. It's getting weird. It's getting into I give up on my life territory. Because there's nothing darker to me than January and February. Literally, it is dark. But also, there's nothing good going on in those months. You know, there's no pretty lights. I don't understand why we don't keep Christmas decorations up until March, but whatever. But these movies that they try to do post-Christmas, I'm on to you. I get that you're trying to make my life easier, but it just feels sad. But what I have realized about myself, and I'm always learning new things about myself, and you know, I'm just open to evolving. What I am evolving into is someone who's totally open to the Hallmark Channel fall movies. Now, why is that? Well, I love fall because it's a transitional time of year. And I'm someone who enjoys, you know, I'm not a, I think I used to be more black and white, more, you know, smash cut. And now I'm more transition. You know, I'm more soft music. Let's go to that. I am like, needle on the record. And so because I love seasons so much, and we used to have them in Los Angeles, but now we have climate change. So it's never not 85 degrees every day. Which I know sounds great, blah, blah. But I'm telling you that I never wanted to live in that climate. And that's why I liked living in Los Angeles, because even though you could have an 85 degree day, it would get cold. It would get frosty overnight. You know, it would get down into the 30s at night, and it would be only like in the 50s and 60s in the daytime in the quote winter, which is very chilly, a very chilly feeling here. And you could wear coats and scarves and fun things. And now it's like 50, 60 at night and 80, 90. So I hate it. It's a living hell. But my life is here, and New York is too expensive for the shit that you get there. So, okay, great. So I have to create seasons in my heart. I mean, it gets kind of cold it's wintry enough here in December that I feel like, okay, I've noticed a shift, but we don't have a fall. In fact, our summer really is September and October. And so I like to, have my like big window in the living room. I like to have the curtains drawn. I maybe put on the air conditioning a little. And I mean, I actually have it on because it's fucking hot out, but I might enjoy a sweater at home. I love to get up at 6 a.m. because it's cloudy and moody here in the mornings at 6 a.m. And it gives me that little bit of a sense of weather. And so I truly get up at 6 every day. I may not be out the door that early, but I am awake looking outside going, thank God it's dark and just moody. And so anyway, anything I can do to transition me from summer into winter, because it's just such a nice in-between season, I'm realizing I want to do. So I start wearing sweaters in September, even if it's 100 out. I don't care. I'm wearing a sweater. And I start eating different foods, like more warming foods, like soups and things like that. You know, less watermelon and things of that nature. So anyway, Hallmark has these movies called the Fall Harvest movies, and they're every weekend. They begin mid-September. They've already begun, and they go through October. And I thought, I'm going to get into them this year. And so I went to my DVR. My old friend, the DVR, and I had every movie. There was 2% room left on it. And I was thinking, why don't even tape any shows? And I had every movie from last year still on my DVR. And I deleted them, thinking, Jen, we have to let them go to make room for new ones. It's not like I'm going to sit and watch reruns. But I know there's a few I missed last year, and I was trying to figure out, did I see this one? And then I just said, Jen, let it go. If it's meant to be, it'll come back to you on a repeat this year. So anyway, we've got all the same faves in the fall movies. Lacey Chabert, whoever these other people are. So I just want to read you what's coming up. This one I love. This is actually a repeat from last year. But I'm DVRing it. A rich gal loses her wealth when her family goes bankrupt, so she heads to a pumpkin farm they own and uses her ingenuity to create a line of pumpkin skincare. What kind of psycho doesn't want to watch that? That's so good. I don't even think there's romance in it. I'm here for the pumpkin skincare. I'm here for her unique brand of entrepreneurial survival. I'm here for when capitalism behooves women. I'm here for it. Okay, so here are the other ones coming this season. There's, this is great. I can't wait. It's same shit, but with leaves instead of snow. I'm into it. Jenny and Brian's wedding plans are interrupted when Meg arrives, claiming she's also an heir to their inn. Now they must focus on raising the money to buy Meg out, and Brian considers returning to Wall Street until Bucks County has a fundraiser. You know, do I go to Wall Street, pick up a quick half a mil with my trading, or do I have a fundraiser in a county? You, of course, know the answer. You'll always make more money at the county fundraiser. Still, they're short on funds they need, and an interested buyer shows up who intends to rebuild the aging structure rather than tenderly repair it, like Jenny and Brian always have. For now, though, focusing on marrying is all that matters to these loving innkeepers who hope their happy ever after can be spent creating more romance in Emily's inn. I love that they're about to lose their inn, but focusing on getting married is all that matters. You fucking terrible business owners. That's literally the last thing that should matter when you're trying to save a business. And I cannot wait to scream at the television with a cup of hot tea. Okay, this one is called Falling for You. Get it? Fall, that's a season. While planning a fundraising event, a small New England town's radio station manager meets her match in a visiting businessman, busy businessman, who can't seem to see beyond the screen of his laptop computer until she ropes him into participating in her bachelor bake-off to help save the station. Guys, the station's going under. How many pies can we make and sell for like $5? Do you think that'll help? God, I can't wait to see that. I can't wait to see he's a businessman whose face is always in his computer. What vague business will he be doing? Oh, God, I'm here for it. I'm jumping into a pile of leaves and I'm just, and in that pile of leaves is a busy businessman who vaguely is doing something in his computer, and it's delightful. Can you smell it in the air, that crisp smell of vague television movie writing? It's like I can breathe again. I can breathe again, people. How about Autumn Moon? While visiting a dude ranch, there's always a dude ranch. In case young people are like, what's a dude ranch? Are there dudes on it? No, it's like a ranch, like horses and shit. While visiting a dude ranch that is a potential acquisition for the outdoor adventure company she works for, Alex, an eager candidate for a big promotion, discovers what matters most when she reignites her passion for the great outdoors and becomes smitten with the ranch's owner in the process. There's going to be a lot of, I'm from the big city. You don't know anything about shoeing a horse, lady. Oh, yeah, you think just because I'm from the city, I don't know. I grew up on a horse. Oh, yeah? And, oh. Mwah. All right, here's another one. Love, of course. Now, that one doesn't sound very fall. I'm trying to find out. Love, of course. There's not one word there that is a pun for the season. So, okay. Amy has spent most of her adult life helicoptering around her daughter, Kara, especially since her husband died 6 years earlier. Oh, hot on the pulse of parenting styles. Helicopter parenting was an issue decades ago, maybe 15 years ago. They're just getting to it on Hallmark. With reluctance, Amy is helping Kara head off to college in another city. She then conveniently lands a job at Kara's college, much to Kara's dismay. When Amy meets Noah, a charismatic, well-traveled professor, she learns more about herself and discovers a new life of her own, filled with romance. That one's all right. It's okay. I'm already annoyed at the professor who's going to be mansplaining things to her. I can't take it. And because it's a Hallmark movie, she's going to love it. Okay. Good Witch, A Tale of Two Hearts. Cassie's precious family heirloom, a beautiful red ruby known as the Heart of Middleton, goes missing from the History of Halloween in Middleton Museum exhibit. Without its heart, the town of Middleton starts to doubt their Halloween spirit just in time for their annual festival competition with Blairsville. Complicating matters, Martha feels underappreciated and defects to Blairsville, giving new mayor Abigail Pershing a run for her money. It was all very crucible names, isn't it? It all culminates at an anniversary black tie Halloween gala at the museum, honoring the lore of the heart of Middleton, where the Merriwicks helped to re-inspire their fellow Middletonians. That one I'm not that into. I don't really know what's happening. There's too many names. I'm pretty much down for the anniversary black tie Halloween gala. I want to see what the outfits are. But I really don't care that someone lost their Halloween spirit in their hometown. Oh, maybe I do. What does that look like? I don't want to carve a pumpkin. I just can't. Why would I ever think I wouldn't like one of these movies? So that's what's going on this fall. Join me if you will. I don't mean literally. Like, don't come over, please. But also, I'm not going to be like live watching them. But just join me in spirit. Get it? Spirits. Woo. Join me in spirit as we watch the fall things together. Oh, how did I miss this one? Truly, Madly, Sweetly. Natalie, the owner of a San Francisco food truck business selling cupcakes, and Eric, a finance manager and divorced dad, are brought together when Eric's aunt, also a longtime customer of Natalie's, passes away and leaves them a building which happens to be the site of a once famous bakery. Forced into this new partnership, they discover selling the building won't be easy because it has been declared a historical site. Romance blooms as they spend time together in the process of renovating the old bakery. However, Natalie's desire to keep things strictly business could put an end to the partnership before the grand opening. Wait, how do they come together again? Natalie owns a cupcake food truck business, and Eric is a finance manager and a divorced dad. And they're brought together when Eric's aunt, who's also a longtime customer of Natalie's, leaves them a building. So she's like, when I die, I want someone in my family and then someone not in my family. I go to her truck, though, and I get cupcakes a lot. I just want to complicate everything by putting these two unrelated people in charge of a building. That's nice. Oh, goodness. Yes, so, I mean, I don't know. Listen, I am turning over a new leaf. I am falling in. I am falling into some new habits. Autumnal for ya. It's like I'll tumble for ya. Autumnal for ya. Autumnal for ya. I'll have some pumpkin and lattes for you. Pumpkin lattes, and then I'll carve a gourd down day, boo boo, and a cinnamon broom. I'll be your skeleton. I'll be your thing hanging on the door. I will give you roasted pumpkin seeds and so much more. Autumnal for you. Someone write that. That's a good bit. Okay, you smelly people. I am so excited about our new sponsor, Myro Deodorant. I'm serious. It's a subscription-based deodorant. It is all natural. You ain't gonna get cancer from aluminium, as the Brits say, aluminum. That's a big ingredient that should not be in deodorant, that you should not be rubbing all over your glands, okay? That's just a little hot tip from JK. So here's the deal. Myro deodorant, all right? It is like 10 times better, not the drugstore stuff with the meh scents that you're used to. It's a new kind of deodorant that lives up to your power yoga poses and your shelfie obsession, hashtag shelfie. Because Myro believes a good scent and a good mood go together like black coffee and breakthroughs. Here's the deal. It's true. The scents are so just present, if that's a word. They're so good. It doesn't smell like chemicals that are supposed to smell like melon. You know, it's great. So it delivers obsession-worthy, naturally effective deodorant that looks as good as it smells, and I'll get to that in a minute. They make their natural deodorant with a custom blend of essential oils that release over time to keep you fresh and a barley extra to keep you dry. Their formula is hardworking, long-lasting, no toxic anything, 0% aluminum, 0% parabens. Their ingredients are clinically tested for safety. So you choose your own scent, your case, and your color, and you get a refresh every 3 months delivered straight to your door. So you say, what do you mean a case? Well, it comes in this cute little case. You can pick the color, and then you get the little tube of deodorant every month, and you can put it in your case. So you don't have to keep getting this big, you know, plastic case every month. And if you go to mymyro.com right now, mymyro.com/iseemfun, you're going to get a special little thing for you. So mymyro.com/iseemfun, and then at checkout use promo code iseemfun, and you are going to get50% off of your first order and get started today for just $5. So here's the deal. I've always been someone who wants to use a more natural deodorant, but I'm an old lady, and in my day, natural deodorant, you may as well have just splashed water under your arms and hoped for the best. Hoped that maybe you were just going to be around people all day who lost their sense of smell. I mean, it didn't work. This is not that. We are living in the future where not only does natural deodorant actually work, it smells so good. And there's so many different flavors. There's Chill Wave, which is like a combination of cucumber, jasmine, and spearmint. There's Big Dipper, which is bergamot, lavender, and vetiver. I don't really know what that is, but I know what it smells like, and it's great. There's Cabin Number 5, which is like a patchouli geranium. That one is, I've smelled that one too. I think that one might be better if we're going to be gender normative for men. Pillow Talk is violet leaf and wild amaryllis. Solar Flare is orange, juniper, and sunflower. I love that one too. They're all so great. So yeah, you can reduce, reuse, and refill. So here's a little bit backstory on the deodorant. It's pretty simple. They wanted to make stuff that respects this world that we're sharing with each other. They did ask specifically if I could sneeze during the podcast, and I said, who knows? You know, how would I be able to control that? But yeah, it's fantastic. Anyway, here's the deal. Here's where you're going to go. You're going to go to mymyro.com, mymyro.com/iseemfun, 50% off of your first order. It's refillable case, and mood-inspiring scents are good for you and the planet we live on. Because the case is refillable, Myro reduces plastic waste and approximately 50% less versus the typical drugstore deodorant. And you can choose your scent, your case, and your color. You get a refresh every 3 months delivered straight to your door, conveniently timed for when most people run out. So again, I'm loving it. And now I've got a deodorant subscription. MyMyro.com/iseemfun, promo code iseemfun, 50% off your first order, and get started today. Okay, so now you get your bod smelling better. I hope everyone's taking care of their teeth. And we love our sponsor, Quip, Quip. Go to getquip.com. You can read all about it. getquip.com/fun. Go right now. Quip is the new electric toothbrush that packs just the right amount of vibrations into a slimmer design at a fraction of the cost of bulkier traditional electric toothbrushes. Yes, you don't have to like put it on a charger and have a long cord. It's not like that. And it's really cool. I have a rose gold one, and you can stick it to the mirror in your bathroom, and then you can remove it, and you can put the cap on, and you can take it and use it as a travel toothbrush. The mount suctions right to your mirror and unsticks to use as a cover for hygienic travel anywhere. The subscription plan, it refreshes your brush on a dentist-recommended schedule, including new brush heads every 3 months for just $5. Including free shipping worldwide. It also has its own toothpaste, which is minty fresh. Getquip.com/fun. It starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/fun right now, you will get your first refill pack for free with Equip electric toothbrush. GETQUIP.com/fun. So you don't have to worry about buying brush heads or toothpaste at the store on your own because they're delivered right to your door on schedule. 75% of us don't refresh our bristles every 3 months. That's because who knows when 3 months has gone by. What are you going to put in your calendar? My toothbrush sale date is today. You're not a dork. You have a life. Quip has been called the Apple and the Tesla of toothbrushes. There's no charger, no wires. It is compact and light. Makes brushing easy at home or on the road. I'm telling you, you're going to look rich when you get a Quip toothbrush. That's not what they told me to say. But I know the weird little things that are important to people. You just look like you're somebody when you're carrying that thing around. You know what I'm saying? All right, everybody. I have so much to talk about in this episode. And as we know, as if you're paying attention to the time here, we're more than halfway through up in here. So I don't know. We want some. I talked last episode about the Emmys and all that kind of stuff. But I actually had a ton of fun at one of the Emmy parties, and it was super fun. And yes, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel won a lot of things. I don't personally win an Emmy, but it was great. I really enjoyed myself, and I actually stayed out late and had some drinks. It was just, I had like traditional fun, but I liked it because there was no like unz, unz, unz music, and I got to wear a pretty dress that I got at Rent the Runway. So I saw my doctor, and literally she interrupts me to tell me that my stomach hurts because I'm drinking. And I'm like, I'm not. So I had a couple drinks at the Emmy party, which I knew I was going to make an exception with my stomach. So here's the deal. By the way, I went to the doctor the week before that. So I was going for my yearly physical anyway. And I knew that my acid reflux was back. And this time it wasn't silent. I was actually feeling it in my chest. And I knew I had just been off the rails. You know, my vocal doctor, the guy that did my sinus surgery, my otolaryngologist or whatever, he had said to me, you know, you've been so good on your mostly acid-free diet. You don't go anywhere where there's loud talking, you know, where there's music and you have to talk loud. You take such good care of yourself. Why don't you have some fun? He had just come back from Italy, so he was in this eat, pray, love mood, you know. He said, the wine there is just so light. It always feels like summer and the Pinot Noir and cheese. And so he just said, would you just please go enjoy your life? He said this to me before I left for New York this summer. He said, it's summertime. Have wine, have cheese, have this. So I go back to New York, and when I do socialize and when I do, and of course I socialize with myself a lot, I get off work. Oh yeah, I'll go have some, you know, late night food. Oh, grab a piece of pizza. Like suddenly I'm, you know, the biggest cheating vegan and, you know, just drinking coffee, putting lemon back in my water. And I completely, at the advice of my doctor, went off the rails a little bit, probably did more than moderation, obviously. And the acid reflux came back, which is fine. All I have to do is revert back to the diet, went back on some like Prilosec and Zantac, and now it's totally fine. But I didn't really realize I was having the reflux until I had symptoms. And by that point, my stomach was starting to hurt. It felt like I swallowed a tiny bag of needles. I just felt pain in my stomach. So I gave it about a month because I was like, I don't know, is this lady? It's hard when you're a lady. You don't know what's your stomach and what's your uterus when you have pain in your stomach area. Like, is this intestines? Is this uterus? They really don't feel dissimilar. So anyway, I went to my doctor and I said, she said, any problems? You know, we're here for your yearly physical, but anything specific you want to tell me? And I said, you know, I have the acid reflux thing. So every time I see her, and I'd seen her a lot recently because I had to get a pre-op physical a few months ago before my surgery. And then my white blood cell count was low, so I had to go back for testing. So I've seen her 3 times this year already. And I go in, and she runs through my whole history again. 2001, you had breast surgery. Oh, I didn't have breast implants. I had a thing removed. At a, not a tumor, like a benign mass. And she's like, okay. And then you had your tonsils out in 1996. I'm like, yes, yes, this is the history. She's like, suffering from depression, anxiety. I'm like, well, suffering. I'm like, I have depression, anxiety. It comes, it goes. It's been part of me my whole life. Like, I don't even think about it. It's not to me a symptom I need to go over with my doctor. And I feel that doctors still don't fucking understand that it's not the cause of our physical illness. If you have depression and anxiety and you know it enough that you tell your doctor and that you're under the care of a therapist for it for decades, then you're not actually a candidate for, oh my God, this physical symptom is depression and anxiety. That's usually people with undiagnosed depression and anxiety who their brains aren't able to feel their feelings yet. So it goes into the body, but I feel and process feelings and I have a meditation practice and a walking thing and a Pilates and I get the stress out. Like I get it. I'm susceptible for sure to stress related illnesses as we all are, but I am no more actually susceptible to that than anyone else. I would argue less so because again, I actually face my problems, talk them out, and have a meditation practice. So she always goes, that can cause a lot of things. And I said, yeah, but that's not what this is. I said, I know my body. When I'm stressed, it shows up in my back and in my breathing. I'm not a stomach anxiety person. Because I only have this like once every few years, you know. So I said, here's the deal. I said, I'm pretty well-versed in my own life. I said, I actually went off my acid-free diet. So I'm just telling you, based on my own actions, my reflux is back. I'm taking meds for it. What are you taking? I said, well, per my other doctor, who's a specialist, one Prilosec in the morning, one Zantac at night. You can't take all that medication. I'm like, no, I can. That's actually how I got better the first time. It's not even a lot. It's like the minimum dose. And so she's like, well, you just can't get into taking Tums and then Pepto-Bismol and then this. I'm like, I didn't say it was. So I feel like I have to talk really fast. And I'm like talking this fast because like she keeps interrupting. She's like, okay, so you know everything. I'm like, well, it's just that I've dealt with this issue for 3 years with three different doctors. So like, I do actually know a lot. If you let me fucking tell you, then you can fill in any blanks if you don't hear me say it. Like, isn't that easier than her just interrupting every 5 minutes? So then she says, she has her back to me and she's like sort of listening, but she's prepping something. And I said, so anyway, I'm having the reflux in my chest, but I'm also having this stomach ache. And I said, what's weird is I'm not constipated and I'm not the opposite. And she goes, any constipation, diarrhea? I'm like, well, I literally just said I don't have either. I was like, it's just really bad stomach. And I started to go pain. I said, really bad stomach pain. Every time I take a bite of food and it goes down, it hurts so bad. And then she just interrupted. So I'm like, it hurts so bad. Drinking? And I said, oh, yeah, drinking too. So even I'm really dehydrated right now because when I drink water, it hurts my stomach so much. I can't even drink water. And she goes, I go, is that what you mean by drinking? And she goes, no, like you have a bottle of wine. So maybe you had two bottles of wine last night and now you don't feel well. I go, no, I was like cunt rage. I was like, oh no. I wouldn't come to a doctor hungover not knowing that I was. I was like, I'm 44 years old. So yeah. Why? I mean, I said, wouldn't I smell like alcohol? If I had two bottles of wine, I would still be in a blackout. That's like drunk history for me. I said, no, I'm actually not drinking alcohol right now because I have acid reflux issues. So yeah, thanks for the input. And I said, I'm pretty vain. I try not to drink a lot or much or at all because it makes your belly bloat. It just dries you out. There's just no need. And the less you drink, the lower your tolerance gets. So that when you do drink, you can be happy with one or two. You drink all the time. Now your tolerance is getting better and better. And now it needs more to get you buzzed. And now you're becoming a chubby bubby. So I said to her, no, I don't know why you would say that to me. I just told you when she went through the questions, like drugs, alcohol, I was like, I'm literally one of those people that 0 to 3 drinks a week. Like I had said that when we went through my whole history. She goes, well, with the depression, a lot of people drink. I go, no, that's the disease of alcoholism. But actually, I don't drink to work with my depression because, again, I'm 44 years old and I'm a pretty functional adult. And I was just talking like this just to be such a cunter. And she was like, oh, okay. I said, it's a really weird question to just say to a patient. I said, so because you interrupted and got me off track, do you remember where I was? And she said, no. And I said, yeah. So that's going to have to change if I'm going to finish talking to you. I mean, I was rip shit. And I said, so then she explained, she said, well, when you're acidic like that, it's going to upset your stomach and you gave yourself a little gastroenteritis. It's just, you know, like your own self-induced, almost like the severity of a virus. It's not a big deal, you know, but you have to eat really bland for a couple weeks and blah, blah, blah. So I did, and I'm feeling a lot better. But I did go to the Emmys party a week later and I did just take like Tums and stuff and I let myself have a couple glasses of wine and some whatever was being passed around for food. But I mean, this doctor, I'm not going to her anymore. I'm going to find a new one. I'm just like, everything I say, she says drinking. I'm like, where are you getting this from? Like, where the fuck? And I know that you guys are like, she saw you on Drunk History. She knows Chelsea Lately. It's like, she doesn't. Nobody knows who I fucking am. Like, she doesn't. She's so confused by what I do for a living. I can't even get into when I try to explain to her that I'm living in New York for a job. She's like, why do you have to go there for a job? Can't you get a job here? I'm like, actually, I can, but I don't want a writing job in LA. I wanted to go to New York to work on this specific show, and I don't have a problem in an overall sense of traveling for work because then I travel to do tours. She's like, oh, she just stares at me. I am like enraged at my hatred of her. So anyway, that's what's going on with me. I just can't drinking. Like who interrupts? Ah, hate everybody. I hate everybody. Anyway, so I had a super fun night a few weeks ago by the time you get this. Doing this show that's once a month in Los Angeles at this new venue. It's a theater, but the name of the show is called Dynasty Typewriter. And I guess it's the name of the venue. I don't know. I'm confused. It's at this theater in Los Angeles, but I guess the complex is called Dynasty Typewriter. I don't fucking know. But once a month, this guy, JP, who books the Conan O'Brien show, he books a bunch of stand-ups. And a lot of them have been people that have been on Conan. And then Conan's been doing stand-up lately and he shows up a lot. So he showed up that night. And I was all excited because I was like, I've been on Conan's show 5 times. And I don't know if he remembers me. And I hope he does. And so I went on early in the show. And I was talking about, I was doing my bit about this woman who tried to convert me on the subway into Christianity. And I talked about growing up Catholic and how we don't convert and there's such a difference between Christianity and Catholicism and it's just all these jokes and growing up in Boston and Catholic and you know my mother saying this about Catholicism and that and I guess Conan was backstage watching or listening and one of the most fun things for a comic is if the comedian after you goes up and they reference your set it's the greatest thing. Especially when they say your name. So Conan, it's like getting extra attention. So Conan got up and he said, he was doing this like fake rage, which was pretty funny. And he said, I didn't know that Jen was going to talk about being Catholic, growing up in Boston right before I went on. Cause that's my act. I grew up in Boston. I grew up Catholic. And he told this really funny story about his mother and that they were, lace curtain Irish and it's a whole really funny bit but it was just fun to get that extra attention and it makes you feel like I'm a real comedian in the world because if I sucked you know maybe he wouldn't have mentioned my act although he probably would have because he would have had to address the elephant in the room that but you know he called me funny on stage and he was so generous and so delightful and then he got off stage and I was like Conan he's like it's nice no he got off stage and I waved, I mean, it was a very small backstage. He goes, hey, it's so good to see you again. And it was so nice. And I was like, you remember me? He's like, yeah, you tap dance on my desk, which is so funny because that wasn't even the last time I was on his show. I tap danced like 2 times ago. But when I did, I remember my mom the next day, like, I don't know where she got this, but she was like, Jennifer, I'm worried about your career. You tap danced on his desk. I'm sure he was upset about that. I'm like, it's not his desk the way that my dad's desk at home. If I tap danced on it, it would ruin the wood and it would be a sign of disrespect and I would probably knock things over. I said, Mom, it's a set. It's not a desk. It's not Conan's actual desk. You're not going to open the drawer and see his tax returns, you know, or carved onto the side of it, the height of his children. I said, it's a set. It's not, he just sits behind it for the show. But you got your feet on it. I'm like, what, they clean it every day? I said, Mom, Conan and I worked out the bit. Like, he comes into your dressing room and I remember too, he came in and we were talking about our families and he hasn't always come in the dressing room, but this one time he did. And I said, I'm going to do this tap dance thing. And he said, yeah, let me find out something. And he came back and I dealt with someone on the stage crew and they said they were going to put a plank of wood out for me to tap dance on so you could hear the taps. And I thought that was so nice and just totally accommodating my dumb little bit I wanted to do during my interview. And so, and then I said to Conan, I might jump on your desk. Is that okay? He's like, yeah, yeah, do whatever. I mean, he already knew it was going to happen. And then he was dancing with me. I mean, he was totally fine. You know, and I just remember, so anyway, I talked to him backstage and I said, I just want to thank you for always being so kind to me and letting me come do panel on your show. I said, I know. And he's like, oh, I mean, you know, you interview celebrities all day and sometimes they just kind of don't have a thing. You kind of, it's like pulling teeth. They don't want to talk or, and I said, I know it's easier to have comedians cause we're always desperate to do funny things. I said, but sometimes unless you have that gravitas where everyone really knows who you are, you can't really just like get away with acting however you want. So I still have to like be funny enough that people who've never seen me, they're actually getting entertained with my pre-planned bits. And so I'm always really nervous. You know, I used to think doing what they call panel, which is when you just sit and talk to the person, was easier than stand up. But in a weird way, it's not, because if they don't know you, they're kind of like, why should I buy into you? Whereas stand up, they don't have to know you. You're telling jokes like, ha ha ha. So I don't know, but I just said thanks for always being so nice to me. And he was like, you're so funny. You're great. No, of course. And I just told him that, you know, I grew up watching like people like Marc Maron go on Conan all the time and just come on and do panel. And I always wanted to do that. And then I can't believe I get to do that. And he's just the best. And so we talked backstage and he doesn't know what an Instagram story is. So I'm trying to like interview him on my Instagram stories and he's still talking. I'm like, oh, sorry, it just stopped. It's 15 seconds long. I think I was totally annoying him, but he was so kind to me and he's a really fucking good dude. Every time I say something nice about someone, 5 minutes later, it's like they're harassing everyone. But I don't think Conan is like that at all. He's really good to the ladies as well. There's tons of, well, that's also a testament to his booker JP, but obviously, you know, I do think Conan, I don't know if he has a say in it, but usually the, how those late night shows work is the booker books people that they know the host will enjoy watching from their little perch over there, you know, because they really do sit there watching and they don't know what anyone's going to say that are the stand-ups on the show. Anyway, it just makes me feel good. He's really brilliant. He's really brilliant. And his stand-up is so funny. He's just a great storyteller. He's great to watch. And I wish he could do more of that on the show. You know, he does his topical jokes, but I don't know, he should have a special or something. I'm sure he's working on it, but I just think people would be delighted seeing what he does. But yeah, he's one of the good ones, you guys. He's one of the fucking good ones, dude. Dude, Dunkin's. Dunkin' Donuts changed their name to Dunkin', which is because everyone in Boston, no one in Boston has said the donut part of that title in 20 years. We're like, you going to Dunkies? Dunkin's? We've never said Dunkin' Donuts. You just go, you going to Dunkin's. I think they should have called it Dunkin's, not Dunkin', but whatevs. Whatevs! Everyone's all up in arms on Twitter about it. Not Boston people. We've been a breven forever. We're kind of like Australians that way. All right. What else can I talk to you about? Oh, it was kind of embarrassing. I went to, so I'd rented a bunch of dresses from Rent the Runway. Or not rented. I have an unlimited membership. So I selected a bunch of dresses. They came to me. And none of them fit right. And so I put them back in their mailable things, pouches, and I brought them to the UPS store. And I walked in and the guys there said, "Ah, trying on Emmy's outfits?" And I said, "Yeah, actually. Yeah." And I said, "Well, I don't actually do the Emmys, but I'm going to a party and all this." And they said, "Oh, yeah." And I said, "But anyway," I said something. I said something like, "Oh, well, I mean, the show is nominated for an Emmy, but I don't," like, I literally thought they knew who I was as a stand-up and then, like, knew I worked on Miss. I don't know why. I never think anyone's recognizing me, except when they're not. I always make a mistake. And they go, "Oh, I don't know what you work on. We just recognize the packaging." So they didn't recognize me. They go, "A lot of celebrities and have, like, you know, I know, or assistants, they come in with this Rent the Runway packaging all the time, and it's Emmys week, and we've been taking a million of these this week." I'm like, "Oh, right, yeah. Oh, okay, sorry. No, not that I thought you knew me." And hashtag humbling. So somebody wrote me about some decorating advice, and I hope this is helpful. Who is this? Wait, where is this? Where is this woman? Maybe I put it under holiday advice by accident. No. Weird. Oh, here she goes. "Hi, Jen. I'm getting a divorce, yay, and sold my house and got my own apartment. I'm finding that decorating the new place is really tough. I intensely don't want my apartment to look like a small version of my house. I want it to be really mine and feel like mine. I always imagine your apartment being so nice, and the way you describe it sound like divorce lady heaven." I guess it is. I mean, you know, there's a couple things, like not every room has hardwood floors, and that kind of makes me crazy, but I put down area rugs even over like other rugs. And I mean, it's not like exact. I mean, I'd rather like redo the kitchen cabinets in my kitchen, but I can't because I don't own it. But I get what you're saying. It is. I decorate my little Jen way. And she said, "Can you throw some advice my way on how to make my apartment look and feel like this? I'm struggling with everything from, do I want to hang the same art I had before, to what color couch cover should I buy, to all of it. I'm realizing that I really allowed him to control so much of my life and choices that I'm refiguring out what do I even like. And this is an area where I could use some help." Well, Rachel, I don't know how much money you have. I'm assuming that selling a house and getting an apartment, maybe you're a little bit in the black. Is that right? Is that good? In the black is good, right? Or in the red, whatever the one where you got a little more money. Here's what I would do. You know, when I moved apartments after my divorce, I did take some of the furniture because most of it was mine anyway. And then when I moved it into the new place, it just felt like it didn't want to be here, you know, and none of my stuff has ever been really expensive anyway. I find that a lot of places, like there's a great place called Urban Home, and I love Cost Plus World Market. I love Pier 1. I mean, you can get, and CB2, you can get decent furniture that's not overly expensive. Now, some people who are really broke might be like, "It's still expensive to me," but I'm just talking about like working women in their 40s who have some savings, you know? And so what I would do is don't worry about getting super big expensive pieces right now, especially since you're figuring out your style. So maybe do shop. I don't know where you live, but go to Pier 1, go to Cost Plus World Market. You can get some good things there. And I would just invest in neutral colors. I would stick with like off-whites and light tan and things like that, because what's really fun is throw pillows and blankets. My apartment is full of throw pillows, not just a few, but 8 on my couch, 3 on one chair. It's just a look. And I would go to Pier 1 and look at all of the throw pillows. Target has a really great new home line. Target is a really good accessories right now. I haven't been in there, but I've been reading about it. I'm forgetting the name of the designer that's doing it. I'm looking at it right now. But they've got really good throw pillows. And I would get things that are, you know, because you're alone, but because you want to be cozy in your home. I love very like textured, tactile things. So I love blankets that are fake fur. I love velvety feeling things. I love things that when you sit on the couch, you can kind of just rub them almost like a pet and it just feels nice. I also am a fan of ball jars. B-A-L-L. You can get them on Amazon. I love to put flowers in them. I think a really good look for a home is when you stick to one color scheme for flowers. Like I only like white flowers. They can be white roses. They can be even carnations. They can just be some like spray, you know, that, what do you call it? It's like that dry stuff, like a bride would put it in her hair or something. Oh, I forget the name. But I have those little ball jars everywhere and I have white flowers in them. I love white candles. I'll just get plain white pillar candles with little simple candle holders. And things like that make me really happy. Those, you can just put that in any room and it looks great. Again, I go to Pier One for stuff like that. Amazon's really good for things like your ball jars. And, you know, you find out, like I decided I collect matches. So I have these big like square vases and I throw a bunch of matchbooks in them. So in trying to figure out what you like, I don't know if you have Instagram or Pinterest, but I would really highly recommend, even if you want to go to my Instagram, at Jen Kirkman, and look at who I follow a lot of home decor, and I get a lot of ideas, and that might help you figure out your style, and then you can just save. You can hit like on all the things that you like, and then after a while, you can notice, oh, I have a collection of things I like. You know, if you look at magazines like Dwell, I think they have decorating ideas. There's a coffee table book called 101 Interiors Around the World. I mean, you don't need to like go get a Taschen coffee table book, but I get inspiration from things like that. But yeah, I follow a lot of home decorating stuff to get ideas. I'll give you some of the examples. Like I love following Jonathan Adler. I love following Apartment Therapy. That's a great website. I love following, of course, I can't find any of it. I can only find the fashion stuff that I follow. Yeah, Home Polish, House Beautiful, as I said, Jonathan Adler. You can just follow a bunch of different home designers and you can just look. And I mean, honestly, I'm not above making a mood board, you know, cutting pictures out of magazines and taping it on some construction paper and just looking and going, this is what I want overall, but I think you want to decide what I really love about, and my apartment actually is not neutral colors, but if I ever do a whole redecorate, I'm going to stay with neutral. My apartment has this like light blue and kind of orange and gold and blue. It looks sort of like a French woman's apartment. It has this shabby chic, vintage, fluffy, sequined vibe. And I really love it. It's kind of random. So not shabby chic. Like I don't like, oh, the table looks like wood that's all fucked up, but it has a little Parisian look to it. I really like my place. So what was my point though? Oh, what I love is you can get different kinds of throw pillows and blankets and you can keep a few in your closet and then switch out. So you might have different throw pillows in the winter. You know, maybe more furs and whites and golds or red and green or whatever your kind of winter decor is. And then in the spring, you might have like lighter colors. And so that way, you know, I like to feel every 6 months or so that my apartment has something new to look at without having to go expensive and get things. And with your art, I mean, I would try, what would it look like if you didn't put your old art on the wall? And and waited to see if you really missed a certain piece, you could put it back up. But I don't know if you travel or if you are someone that has a lot of photos. Like, I have photos of trips all over my walls, and I just get a bunch of different funky frames. And there's a great store. I think it's going out of business in Los Angeles, and I forget the name of it, but they used to have this 1 cent frame sale. You buy a frame and get another for a penny. But I buy all these, Cost Plus, World Market is probably a good place to get frames. I buy all these funky little frames, different colors, different sizes, and they're arranged on my wall in this kind of cool shape. Another thing I like to do is go to Etsy, ETSY.com, and I will look up vintage wallpaper. And I haven't wallpapered my place, but I have framed wallpaper. So I will take a big, you know, 6x10, 8x10 piece of vintage wallpaper and frame it and put it on the wall, and it looks really cool as just a design kind of picture. I do recommend peel and stick wallpaper. They make really good ones now. If you go to Wayfair.com, they have great peel and stick wallpaper. And that's a great way to just do an accent wall in your apartment while you kind of figure out what kind of art you want. But I think pictures in very interesting frames is a way to go. Photographs, I mean, because they're conversation pieces. I mean, I'm looking around my apartment right now, and depending on where I look, I could tell you a story about Sweden or Paris or Ireland or Australia or New Zealand. And I love it. I really love it. So I feel like how you find out what you like is that you scroll through different designs. And even if, I don't know if you go to Pinterest, I use Pinterest, you can search living rooms, dining rooms, bedrooms, and you can look and, you know, it'll resonate with you right away, whether you like something or not. But I would, if you can afford it, I would get rid of the old furniture and start over. I mean, you got a new place. Why bring the old place in with you? This is your time. This is your stuff. And I think you get a few different couch covers if you want, you know, and rotate them out again, depending on how you're feeling or whatever. So I think that's sort of the way to go. And for me, fresh flowers always is a good energy in my place. I love candles. And, that's how I like to do things. So those are my decorating tips. I don't know if that's helpful or not, but I would just try to keep it simple. But never forget, in your decorating, it's not just about how things look, but I like to really focus on how things feel. I love to have things that are fun to touch. So I hope that helps. And I don't know. Let's just get down to business. Follow I Seem Fun Podcast at I Seem Fun Podcast on Twitter, facebook.com/I Seem Fun Podcast. If you go to the Facebook page, the pinned Facebook post will lead you to the closed Facebook I Seem Fun group where everyone's talking about all things related to I Seem Fun. But I mean, it's really just a bunch of people like making friends and talking about their lives. It's very cool. So you can click on that. You can join that group. And please come see me on tour, as I have already begged, jenkirkman.com. Click tour dates. Give this show a review on iTunes. Give it 5 stars. We are now on Stitcher. And I don't know what else. I guess, part of the All Things Comedy Network. Of course, go to allthingscomedy.com and find out about all the other great podcasts that they offer. And please send me an email at iseemfun@gmail.com. And if you need any advice for Thanksgiving, Christmas, or New Year's, please send it before October 30th, and we will get it answered on some upcoming advice episodes. iseemfun@gmail.com, and we will release the episodes before each holiday so that you actually will have time to incorporate our advice into your life. So until next week, have fun.